Christian faithfulness. One of the distinguishing characteristics and features of Matthew's account of the gospel in the New Testament is that Matthew goes back and forth throughout the writing of the book between two types of writing. He writes a section of narrative or a section of historical facts that occurred and took place. And then he will switch and write a section of discourse or of teaching from Jesus. And this goes back and forth throughout the book with five sections of discourse in total. And so the verses that we're going to look at this evening are a part of what is called the Olivet Discourse. And it's the last major discourse in the book. This is the last time Jesus is going to talk with his disciples in private here, and he's going to talk to them about his second coming. And you can see there within the Olivet Discourse, there are actually quite a few parables that Jesus tells to his disciples and teaches to them. Tonight we're going to focus on numbers 4, 5, and 6. And together these parables kind of form a unit together. And they all tackle the topic of Jesus' second coming. And also how believers are to prepare for it. It's just that these three all approach that topic from slightly different angles and mention slightly different things about it, and we learn different things about his second coming from each of these parables. And so as an introduction tonight to these parables, we can see that the parable of the two servants commends the virtue of expectantly watching for Christ's return. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids is a lesson about patiently waiting for him. The parable of the talents is a reminder that we must keep diligently working while we look for him. So, watch expectantly, wait patiently, and work diligently until Christ returns. So let's go ahead and look at this first parable of the wise and evil servants that we find in chapter 24 and verses 45 to 51. And there it says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so in these verses, in this parable, we see a very stark contrast between these two servants in the passage. We see that the faithful and wise servant obeyed his master, whereas the evil servant said to himself, "My master is delayed." And it says he began to beat his fellow servants, and he ate and drank with drunkards. And as this was happening, the master returned suddenly. Master returned when the evil servant was not expecting him. And we see here that he found the faithful and wise servant doing just as he had been tasked to do. And his master set him over all his possessions. Again, this was a very high position of authority and of honor that this servant was put in. over all his master's possessions. And also note here that the privileges of this servant mirror that of the master's. And that's an important point that we'll see in a minute. Pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now the contrast in this parable is purposefully shocking and graphic. It's making a point between these two servants. And we can see here that these servants represent two different types of people. The faithful and wise servant here pictures believers who love and obey the master. And it says that in the end they will be rewarded. Again, the position here, the privileges of the servant very much mirror that of the master's, which is exactly what we see in Scripture. Believers will be rewarded with reigning with Christ in his kingdom. Evil profess to believe and have even made themselves a part of the master at all. And because of this, this evil servant is then cut into pieces and thrown where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so from this parable, what we learn is the master's fully prepared when he comes. We should be ready and prepared when he comes. And we get a really great description of what this looks like in the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Again, such a great biblical summary of the lesson that Jesus is teaching in this parable. We should be found obedient to the will of the Master when he returns. The second parable that we want to look at this evening is the parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25. So chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Please look there with me. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So the last parable with the servants are expecting in this wedding party of some probably pretty important families, and this is a highly important occasion that is being described. We also know that the arrival of the groom would signal the beginning of the festivity. So everybody's waiting for him to show up. That's why they're there. They're waiting on him to get there. The main responsibility they would so their responsibility then was to be terrible. And as we read the parable, we see that the events here, they're like a scene out of a movie or something, right? Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Okay, all kinds of stuff. It's getting late. The groom has not arrived. Bridesmaids are falling asleep. And most importantly here, the ceremonial torches that the bridesmaids are to use to usher the groom to the feast. Remember, one job. You got one job, and that's to make sure that you are prepared to fulfill this task, and those lamps are burning out. And we see at midnight, the groom comes, and the wise bridesmaids, they refuel their torches, right, because they brought it with them, they're ready to go. But the foolish bridesmaids here must go to town and find a place to buy more fuel. While they're gone, the groom comes in, the doors are shut, and the festivities begin. When the bridesmaids return, they beg to be let in. And again, the response here of the groom is just, it's kind of chilling to read. He says, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." And they're not let into the feast. And the words of the groom here very much remind us of the words of Jesus. In Matthew 7, you may remember, Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Also again in Luke 13, again Jesus speaking, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out." The very, very tragic thing to be told that you're not known. And so, from this parable then, we learn that Christ, who is represented by the groom in the parable, is coming. He may arrive later than we expect, and we must be prepared for that possibility. That means remaining awake, staying at the watch, and being ready for him no matter how late the hour. In fact, as time passes, the third parable this evening is that of the talents. And we see this starting in verse 14 to verse 30. There it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. When gathering where you scatter no seed, so I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. which in this study, Dr. MacArthur says he sees this as a lie. This servant is like, this is not the attitude of the master. It's not the attitude that we see back up in verses 21 and 23. There he is a kind and a gracious master. So here this servant with the one talent is just trying to find a way out of the problem that he's in. So verse 26, but his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here the talent that we see here was actually a unit of weight. It was equivalent of anywhere from 60 to 70 pounds of gold or silver, depending on who you asked. Okay, so everybody had kind of a different idea of what that was equivalent to. But you could see, even being given one talent to look after, that's quite a large sum to be responsible for. And again, we see this contrast between the two servants that went to work and invested their talents and they gained a profit from it, over against this one servant who dug a hole and buried the talent in the ground. Those who invested and used their talents were rewarded, and the one that buried his talent was punished. About this parable, John MacArthur writes, "From the point where the master returns, the storyline follows the same basic pattern as the previous two. The man is caught unprepared. His unfaithfulness is exposed. His guilt cannot be covered up or explained away. And his punishment is frightfully severe." And the point of this parable can be summed up by saying, while we wait, we are to work expectantly for the master. And whether Christ returns early or late, he should find us working for him. So like we said at the beginning of the evening tonight, we see that as we anticipate Christ's return, as we look for his return, we are to watch expectantly, wait patiently, and work diligently. So let's close in a word of prayer this evening. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we think about the promise that you have given to us that you will indeed return. Lord, and you will reign. So Father, I pray that as we wait for that day, you would help us, Lord, to work and to be about the business of the gospel with our lives until you do indeed return. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.